Hello, and welcome to the Motina Books Podcast. We publish books by and for mothers, and there's a special place in our heart for single mothers. My name is Diane Windsor. I'm the founder of Motina Books, and I also lead a large single parent support group here in North Texas. Single Side Up is a single parent support program that is part of the nonprofit family strengthening organization, This Side Up Family. We are the largest and most active single parent group in North Texas. In this podcast, we will discuss our books, our authors, and issues affecting single parents. If you have written or want to write a book, or if you'd like to discuss an issue that pertains to single parent families, please feel free to reach out to us. Well, hi there. Welcome to episode 2 of the Motina Books Podcast. Today is January 23rd, 2017, and it is a beautiful day here in the Dallas area. We're in the mid-60s, which is really nice. It's almost like springtime, and that means that I'm going to have to start thinking about planting a little vegetable garden soon. I keep saying I want to do that. I always have the best intentions each spring, and then basically it gets so hot in the summer here in Texas, and I just don't water my poor little vegetable plants like I should. So I'm going to try really hard to be better about that this year. And a lot of people here in North Texas start planting their gardens in February because we don't have a long freeze season at all. So I need to start thinking about this soon. So on Saturday, January 21st, we had one of our Single Side Up meetings, which is the support group that I conduct for single parent families. And we really focus on helping single parent families win. It is possible. I know it feels like it's hard sometimes. You feel like you don't have enough money. But if you can get a handle on it and work your budget and possibly work the envelope system, which we're really going to dive into deep later on, and pay off your debt and have some money in savings so you're not depending on credit cards all the time, single parents can absolutely win with money. And so one topic that came up recently is how to teach your children about money. I know that I didn't really learn how to control my finances until later in life. I was 40 when I first figured out the best way to manage my money, how to make sure I knew how much is coming in and how much is going out, and making sure that those numbers worked together, that there wasn't more going out than was coming in. That's so important. So once we have a handle on that, then how do our own children learn how to handle money for themselves? How are they going to be financially responsible as adults? And that's what we talked about over the weekend. So I'm going to talk about that today. I do have a PowerPoint presentation that I saved as a PDF that I'm going to post onto the MotinaBooks.com website under the podcast tab. It will be a link available under episode number 2. So if you would like to see the slides that accompany this podcast, that is where you'll be able to find them. So let's get started. How to teach your children about money. So I think I might have mentioned my story before in episode 1. Growing up, my parents did not teach me about money. They thought they did, but they didn't. Mom taught me how to balance a checkbook, and she told me how to get a department store credit card. And honestly, today, I don't balance a checkbook. I have my written budget, and I know how much money I'm earning and when all of my bills are due, and when everything needs to be paid. But I never balance a checkbook anymore. I rarely write checks anymore. I have everything that needs to be paid for, all of my bills, either auto pay directly out of my bank account, or I will go ahead and make that payment. So another thing I do is I pretty much check my balance online every day. I like to know what's happening, because it has happened before, just once or twice, where an unauthorized payment was made, and I was not the one to do that. Obviously, it was unauthorized. I did not authorize it. And what a lot of these hackers or identity thieves will do is instead of going to your bank account and, you know, taking a humongous sum out right away, they'll do a little, maybe $20 or even $10 payment from your bank account, from your checking account. And the way they do that is usually somehow someone has stolen your debit card number, whether it was from an online transaction or an in-person transaction. So if you see one of these small charges made on your bank account that you know you didn't do, call your bank immediately. They're going to give you a new debit card number and all that good stuff. Because I think what these hackers will do is they do a little test debit, little test withdrawal. And if you let it slip by, if you don't, you know, call the bank right away and freeze your account or change your debit card, then they're going to start doing larger and larger sums of money. So you really do need to keep an eye on your bank account. Our kids absolutely need to learn how to spend less money than they make. And we are the ones, their parents, who have to teach them. Because do you think they're learning this in school? No. I have news for you. They're not. Now, there are two key parts in teaching your children how to be financially responsible. The first way is to model good financial behavior yourself. Encourage your children by showing them that you have a budget. You're not having constant overdrafts on your checking account. You only pay for something if you can afford to buy it, which means not that you can afford the payments by financing an item. No, we're looking at the true cost of the item. So the only way that you're going to be able to buy something is if you have the money to do it. If you've got the money sitting in your bank account and it has been allocated for that item. You don't have to take money out of your emergency fund to buy something that you want, but you have the money readily available and at hand to buy this item that you want. Model this good behavior to your children. And also, you need to talk to your kids about how much things cost. You need to talk to your kids about how much you make. If you don't, who's going to do it? Nobody else is going to do it. So when I gave this talk earlier in the week, there was a gentleman there who was kind of playing devil's advocate with me. He did not agree with everything that I was talking about. When I say tell your kids how much you make, that's very important. It's up to you to determine the best age to tell them this information. I was doing it when my kids were 8 and 12 and 15. So I didn't think my 8-year-old was too young to hear about this. This gentleman said, well, young kids are going to go to school and tell all their friends how much money you make. I have a few responses to that. Again, if you don't tell them, how are they going to know? If you think 8 or 7 or 9 is too young, then don't tell them that young. Wait until they're a little bit older before you give them exact numbers. If people in your community and the parents of your kids' friends know what you do for a living, it is not difficult to find out your approximate salary. There are all kinds of websites out there, all kinds of services like salary.com, and they'll give you an idea about how much money somebody is making, someone can earn in a particular profession. I wouldn't sweat about it too much. And if you don't want your children to tell other people, ask them not to share that information. But still, they need to know this. I used to call family meetings with my kids, and they would dread it. And I had an agenda because I'm a nerd, so I wrote down on a piece of paper exactly what we were going to discuss. And I would show them my budget form. I would show them, this is my paycheck, this is how much is coming in. And with this paycheck, we're going to have to pay the mortgage payment, we're going to have to pay the electricity bill, we're going to have to pay the natural gas bill. And they would see on my budget form exactly how much those different bills cost. This is very important for you to teach your children, because when they are ready to go out into the world and support themselves, they need to have an idea about how much these things cost, right? Do you want them to be shocked and terrified going out into the world without any idea? And they need to have an idea about what their earning potential could be. Of course, it's probably not going to be what you're making right off the bat, right when they're out the door trying to get an apartment. But they need to know what they can expect to earn. So let's talk about modeling good behavior. The first thing you need to do is set up a budget. Budget is not a curse word. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be able to go out to eat again or buy yourself a treat. You are simply spending your money on paper before you are spending it for real. Tell your money where to go instead of wondering where the heck it went. So in my PowerPoint presentation, I've got a couple of little sample budgets here. So, you know, people have different pay schedules, right? I get paid twice a month, on the 16th and on the 1st. If I have my first paycheck for the month, I know that certain bills are going to have to come out of that. For example, rent, electricity, maybe a gym membership. I've got Netflix on here. I also have, as you'll see on the PowerPoint, various envelope categories. Now, what are envelopes? What is the envelope system? What I do when I get paid is I go to the bank and I withdraw a certain amount of money. If I know that I typically spend $150 each paycheck for groceries, I will take out in cash $150 and stick them in my grocery envelope. If there is no money in that envelope, then I do not pay any more groceries. Now, it takes a little while to get used to it, but this is an excellent way of becoming very disciplined and also of teaching your kids how much things cost. I remember my daughter when she was about, I'd say she was about 12, maybe 13 when we started doing this. We went to the grocery store together. I had my grocery envelope. I think there was maybe $200 in there. And no, there was a lot less than that. There would have been, I think at that time, my grocery budget was $125 a week. So I was very busy with clipping coupons, and I had a very strict list that I stuck by. And this one particular time we went grocery shopping together, every time I would put something in the basket, she would write it down, and she would make a note of how much it costs, and then we were adding it up as we went along. When we were finished, we had more items in our basket than money that we had in the envelope. So at that point, we decided what to put back. It's like, okay, there are some things that, yes, we really need this week, but you know what? Some things we can wait on, and we don't have to buy it necessarily this week. Maybe it was something that was a little bit more of a want than a need, or something that we can just put off. So I do this to this day. I still have my envelopes. For teaching children about budgeting, there are several envelopes that are really important. Dining out is a big one, because if you're at home on a weeknight, everybody's starting to get hungry, and the kids say, "Mommy, I want a pizza. Let's order a pizza for dinner." Instead of just saying, "No, we can't afford it," or "No, I don't have the money for that," what you can do is say, check the dining out envelope, check the eating out envelope. If there is enough money in there for a pizza, then we can get one. Otherwise, it's leftovers, or we're going to make some scrambled eggs for dinner tonight. And this works so well because in an envelope, the kiddos can see the money. They can feel it. They know, okay, we need $20 for the pizza that we want to order. Oh, but there's only $10 in there. And also, it doesn't mean we're never going to have a pizza. It means we just need to wait until Mama gets paid next. And then we can celebrate and we can have a pizza because we know that we're going to have the money in the eating out envelope. Another one that's really good for kids is the birthday party envelope. Now, this is not for their own birthday party, but I swear when my kids were in elementary and middle school, they were going to somebody else's birthday party practically every weekend. So you decide in your mind what a good spending amount is for another child's birthday. probably between $10 and $20 is fine. You certainly don't need to go overboard. Some parents like to give a gift card or cash, but it's still fun, of course, to go to the toy store or the video game store or whatever and let your child help pick out a toy or a game to give to their friend for their birthday. Another one that was important to me when my kids were younger was haircuts. And I know that might sound funny, but when three kids come to you at the same time and say, "Mama, I need a haircut," that adds up fast. Oh my gosh, we were looking at $75 possibly. And it was important to me to know that I had the money in my haircut envelope so that it wasn't a big deal. Some other really good envelope categories are Christmas or another holiday that you celebrate. That way you're putting money into that envelope every paycheck so that you're not caught by surprise, right? If you have pets, put money in there for, you know, dog or cat food, kitty litter, vet bills. Clothing is good. Entertainment is important. And we've also got like a blow money category. Everybody needs a little bit of money to just blow on themselves, and that's okay. You decide how much it is. And then at the end of doing your budgets, hopefully you will have a little bit of money left over at the end of the month, right? You don't want to be spending more than you earn, but you also don't want to be spending exactly the same amount as you earn, because you need to put some money into savings for an emergency fund in case something happens to the car or there's a medical emergency. And that's very important. So I think we're going to talk about that next. It is absolutely vital to have an emergency fund. And like we just said, the car needs work. Your refrigerator quits working. Your crazy 12-year-old broke his glasses again, and you need to buy a replacement pair. What is not an emergency? Christmas, like we just said, because you're saving up for that all year. Birthdays, that's another thing. Save up for that all year. Vacation, and the really cute pair of shoes that are a really good price at Dillard's, but, you know, they still have to be in the budget in order for you to buy them, so save up for them. These are all items that should be budgeted. Now, don't freak out if you don't stick to your budget the very first month. It normally takes about 3 months to really get used to it, but I urge you to do a written budget and to stick to it. So the envelope system, we did just talk about that. We talked about recommended envelopes. Dry cleaning and laundry is good too. Car repairs and tires. I really believe so strongly that using an envelope system really helps teach your children how to manage money. Because again, they see it. They can see it there and touch it. It's not nebulous in mama's checking account, because they don't see that. They don't know what that means. You know, we get our paychecks direct deposited and all of our bills are paid automatically from our checking account. They can't see that. This way, they get it. So what do your children need to know about money? Something that I think is very important is that they need to know from an early, early age that money comes from work. This is how it's earned. Some parents will give an allowance. I think it makes more sense to give a child commission. Now, that doesn't mean that they should be expected to be paid for every single little thing they do around the house. Like, you're not going to pay them for picking up their socks and putting them in the hamper, right? There are certain things that families do around the house just because they are part of the household. But come up with some specific chores that you are willing to pay your kiddos for. Maybe it's something a little above and beyond, like, you know, cleaning up after the dog or the cat, making sure the dishwasher is loaded and run and unloaded, sweeping the floor, cleaning the bathroom, just extra stuff like that. And if you search online, there are a ton of great examples of chore charts. So just do a Google search for chore charts and you'll come up with some great ideas that'll let you know exactly what kind of things we're talking about. And then on the chore chart, share it with your child, of course, so they can see how much money per chore they're going to be earning. Another thing that your kiddos need to learn is saving. Saving is how you plan for the future, and for both short and long-term purchases. A short-term purchase could be something like, you know, a game or a toy that it might take a couple of weeks for them to save up for. But then long-term, you know, maybe they're thinking about, I don't know, depending on how old they are, you know, maybe start thinking about a car or a cool bicycle that they want. Another key term is spending wisely. Spending is done differently when you're spending money that you earn, right? Than as opposed to money that somebody just gives you. You're much more careful with it. You don't want to blow it too quickly. So age-appropriate discussions. From about 3 to 6, financial discussions should certainly match your child's level of understanding. Let them see you pay bills. They should know what things cost and that you're making choices, your financial choices and spending choices based on a plan that you have. Well, we're going to plan for this little day trip, maybe down to San Antonio or something, in a couple of months. So we're thinking about it now to save up for it. From ages 6 to 13, if you still get bills to, you know, in the mail at home, allow them to open them up. I usually, you know, even though most of the bills are paid online automatically, there are still a couple things that come to my house, like the city utility bill that still comes to the house. There are a couple things that are still going to show up. And then you can also show them how bills are paid online. Show them your bank account. Log in and just show them how you transfer money or how you set up an auto payment or something like that. So from age 13 till they're out of the house, this is when you should definitely start telling your kids how much money you earn, what is deducted from all of your paychecks, taxes, health insurance, 401k deductions. Make sure they know how much the rent or mortgage payment is. Whenever you need to make a home repair or a car repair, share that information with them as well. Because really, if you don't tell them this, who will? They are not learning this stuff in school. I wish they were, but it is really our responsibility as parents to tell them this. And I really wish that my parents told me when I was growing up how much money they earned. I just had no idea. I had no idea what a low salary was, or kind of median, or a really high salary. I didn't know. And I think kids need to know that. Let them know what they can expect to be earning once they graduate from high school and college. Or if they don't go to college, some other kind of trade school. They need to know all this. So what kind of tools can you use to teach your kids about money? Again, from age about 3 to 6, give them savings jars that are clear containers. Now, we want to instill into our kids that giving is a very important thing that we do with our money. And it is. Whether you go to church or not, people who go to church, they often tithe. But if you're like me and you don't go to church, find a nonprofit organization that they feel strongly about. It might be your local animal shelter. It could be the local food bank. We have in my town a community outreach program which helps families in our town when they need some extra assistance, whether it's financially or there's a food pantry, and there's also a resale shop. So right in your own community, there are tons of ways that your kids can donate a portion of the money that they earn. So have these savings jars, clear containers, one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending, where they can actually see the money that is accumulating in these jars that's starting to build up. So the spend jar, that is pretty much liquid money that they have available at their disposal if they want to go get some candy or go to a movie with a friend or, you know, just money that they want to buy something with, kind of spur of the moment. Then the save jar is for a more long-term spending goal. Again, depending on your child's age, that goal is going to vary. From ages 6 to 13, It's recommended that you change out the clear containers or savings jars for their own envelope system. Definitely start with save, spend, and give, like we had with the jars. But if they want to add one or two more categories that are important to them, that's fine. This is a good time to do that. It's important for the younger kids from ages 3 to 6 to actually see the money. But if they've been doing this for a few years, then they can put the money just directly into an envelope, and it becomes a little less important for them to be seeing it all the time. And again, as they get older, from age 13 till they're out of the house, make sure that you help them establish a checking account with a debit card and assist them with balancing that account. Now, what I did, the bank that I use, they had a great teen checking option. And it's a joint account that I had with my teenager. The bank that I used, it was Wells Fargo. They offered these teen checking accounts with no overdraft charges. If they go below zero, it's just the money just isn't there. And so that's a really nice way for them to get started. They're not going to be looking at crazy fees or anything. They're just going to have their teen checking account, monitor it with your child, make sure they understand that every time they swipe that debit card, the money is coming right out of that checking account. I do not recommend getting a teenager any kind of credit card. That is not something they need at this age. And we're going to talk more about credit cards in a later podcast. There are a lot of different opinions out there among different financial experts about whether a credit card is necessary, if it should be used, should not be used. So we'll get into that later on. Okay, well, I think that about wraps it up for us. And like I said, you'll be able to download the presentation if you'd like to from MotinaBooks.com under podcasts, under the Episode 2 podcast. And thank you so much for your time. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions, if you would like to submit a book or a book idea to MotinaBooks.com. Just find our contact page and we'll be happy to talk to you. Have a great day. Bye.